Memories are a funny thing, aren't they? We all have them, and depending on how often we think of them, our memories can be strong influences in our life, or they can simply be faint traces of past experiences. January 1st, memories pop up. July 4th, memories pop up. December 25th, these are dates that spark recognition. They trigger memories for most of us to one extent or another. But how about this one? Anybody remember what happened on December 17th, 1903? That was the day that Orville and Wilbur were right. Thank you. Jacob, it worked just as well in live as it did on the camera, right? He groaned at me the other day. He's like, "Did you really just do that?" I'm like, "It works, Jacob, it works." Now, that's the day they first flew for a little bit. How about August 16th, 1977? Anybody remember where they were or what happened that day? August 16th, 1977. That was the day Elvis passed away. Or how about July 20th, 1969? Anybody remember? Man walked on the moon. That's right. Very, very good. Of course, there are other things that we remember. Maybe not actual dates, but the memories are just as real. How about the first time you drove a car? Some of you, that's a good thing. Some of you are like, ugh. I remember the day I drove a... I didn't actually... Mine was driving a tractor first, then the truck... Probably about, I won't tell you how old because there's way too many children here in the midst. But let's put it this way. There's a young man that had a birthday recently that is older than I was when I was driving the truck for my dad to feed the cows, taking the hay off the back, you know. I mean, that's just the reality growing up on a farm. And then finally, a car. But I remember more than that, teaching my children how to drive a car. Those weren't quite so much fun. Or how about when we first... rode a bike, or our first kiss that wasn't mom or dad or Aunt Liza, and everybody had an Aunt Liza, right? You know what I'm talking about. Memorable moments. One of the most significant for me was the moment, the memory of my decision to be a follower of Jesus. I remember when I went forward and made my confession of faith, and I remember that when I was baptized, I was in the sixth grade, and I remember that very clearly. From talking to the minister to stepping into the water, 40-plus years later, I remember it. Now, a few years ago, I saw that man that baptized me. He and his wife were in the lobby of Boise Bible College talking with the main speaker of the conference that was there, and one of the professors for the college was standing there with them, and I saw them as I was working my way to a meeting. The professor saw me, And he grabbed me, "Andy, come here, I want to introduce you to somebody." And so he introduced me to the speaker, and then he turned to introduce me to the other couple, and I beat him to it. I grabbed the man and gave him a hug. I said, "Rich and Patsy, it's so good to see you." And they're like, "You remember us?" And then the poor guy, the speaker that's from back in Missouri, he's like, "I'm missing something here." And I turned, I said, "Rich baptized me. Way too many years than I want to remember ago. But I didn't mean to do this. It wasn't my original intent that day. But the look on this man's face told me that he was incredibly touched that all these years later I remembered him. And it had been at least 30 years since I'd last seen him. And he shared that morning, which I knew he would because it was funny. He shared, "Andy was the first one that came forward and was baptized when I started my ministry at his home church." He goes, "And I was so nervous. I mean, I knew him. I'd been at his house and had dinner with their family. But when he came forward, I could not remember his name," which he didn't. And he leaned over to me. He's like, "I am so sorry, but I don't remember your name." And I'm like, "Andy, oh, yeah." And so he still brings that up, and we just laughed. And the speaker made the comment. He goes, "Well, obviously it took, because 40 years later, he's still a student and a teacher of the word. So whatever it was, it must have been okay. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and memories are a funny thing when we stop to think about it. And they can bring us much blessing, and they can bring us much pain. Tomorrow, some of my earliest childhood memories come from this very weekend. The young people in the audience, I was about your age when this was happening. And from the time I was old enough to walk and get into things, my mom and my sister, we would go to my great-grandparents' house over in Jerome. And for about 2 hours, everybody, there would be 15 to 20 of us, would be cutting flowers, cutting off branches of the lilac trees and the snowball bushes. And in the garden, they had four rows of irises that were there just for this purpose. And so we would cut all the fresh flowers we possibly could. Then we would spend about an hour grabbing some irises, some snowball bushes, and some lilacs, putting them together in an arrangement and putting them in water in one of those three-gallon coffee cans. And we would make an arrangement to place on the grave of all of our family members who'd gone before us out at the Jerome Cemetery. That was over 50 years ago, and yet Debbie will tell you that even as we went out there last Friday, I can remember where, and I'm sitting there, that's where this, you know, I still remember. That was my favorite part of the day. It wasn't the food that was waiting for us at the house afterwards. It was finding the resting places of our family. Now, the family doesn't gather like it used to, and I've gotten way too old because there's far too many friends that are laying at rest out there than are left of us to decorate their graves. But I still appreciate and I'm grateful for a family that taught me to remember and honor those who went before me. If you read in your history books, you'll find Memorial Day traces its roots back to 1868 when General John Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic declared May 30th as a day of remembrance. It was a significant day. Now, in December of 2000, Congress passed a resolution that asks all Americans to voluntarily and informally observe a moment of remembrance and respect at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day. It's a really nice thought, but I don't think it's just enough to give a moment of remembrance. Tomorrow's the official holiday, but many see it as just another three-day weekend. But for those who have lost someone because of war or military action, it's much more than just an extra day off. In fact, I believe that every American ought to recognize this day as a chance to honor those who spilled their blood to make America what she is today, free, strong, and a nation worth remembering and fighting for. Men and women have died for this country, so we have the right to preach God's word freely. They have died for our country, so we have the right to live at peace in our own homes. They have died for this country, so we have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. It's a time when we remember a sobering fact, and that is simply this: the price paid for our freedom is blood that was shed. This morning, I want us to think about a few thoughts and a few lessons that we learned from the past that will help us both now in the present and in the days to come to remember. First, I want us to look at the lessons from the perspective of individuals who live in these United States. So on Memorial Day, first thing we need to do is we need to mourn the loss. As individuals, when we remember loved ones who have died, we often tend to think of the if-onlys. If only I had told them I loved them. If only I'd been with her at the end. If only I hadn't spoken so harshly last time we spoke. We're filled easily with if-onlys. But as a nation, we have the same things. If only we could have avoided conflict at this point in time. If only we could have responded differently. If only. Our regrets are played back over and over in our minds, but ultimately, both as individuals and as a nation, those if-onlys don't change anything. Friends, it's important to mourn, to grieve for those that we have lost too early or for those who ultimately gave everything And mourning is one of the most powerful emotional disciplines we can do, whether it's a loved one, whether it's a soldier, and sometimes it's both. It's good to remember and allow ourselves a chance to mourn. It's human, it's natural, and it's healing. And when we ignore our pain, when we refuse to acknowledge our loss, our hearts can get cold, or even worse, they can grow numb. And neither of those are good for us. The second lesson I want us to remember is on Memorial Day, we remember the lives. Part of our emotional healing in the process of grief is to remember the life of the loved one who passed. If we look across the road as we leave this morning to the cemetery, we'll see a lot of headstones, graves that are there, a testimony to how families and friends remember their loved ones. Some of them you'll see the words "gone too soon," or you'll see something like "beloved son or daughter, loving wife, devoted father. Though we'll miss you much, we know you rest with God," or something like "safe in the arms of Jesus," or even "gone but not forgotten." And all of these messages tell us that these people are dearly remembered. One of my favorites I read was, "Who is going to sit in their chair?" Who's going to sit in their chair? Think of all that implies. And what an incredible challenge that is to all of us, to fill the chair, to step into the shoes of those who have gone before us. When our boys were in middle school and elementary, they ran cross country, and they weren't any good, okay? I mean, they were good athletes, but cross country was not their skill set. But they were young enough, and they were strong enough and good enough athletes that they qualified to go to the National Junior Olympics finals 4 or 5 years in a row. Again, they were not that great, but we got to go to Portland, and it was always the second week of December. I mean, it was cold. Got to go to Portland 1 year. 1 year we were in Reno. 1 year we were in Chicago. You talk about cold. And 1 year we got to go to South Carolina. And we have some great memories as a family from those times. But it was the year that it was in South Carolina, we realized it was cheaper to fly to Nashville and then drive the 3 to 4 hours then on into Asheville, South Carolina, where the race was being held at, or Spartanburg, I'm sorry, it was Spartanburg, South Carolina. And so we did that. And so Debbie and I decided, we were homeschooling the boys, and that year we'd been studying the Civil War as part of their history. So we thought, let's go out a week early. We had some friends that lived in Nashville, so we went out, spent some time with them, and we did a lot of study while we were there. We had a great time visiting different farms, different museums. We got to go into downtown Nashville to Opryland and see some of the history of the area, but especially the large plantations, especially the one just south of Nashville in Franklin, Tennessee, the Carnaton Plantation. There was an actual battle of the Civil War that took place on the grounds of this plantation. And I promise you, it was fairly sobering and incredibly powerful to all of us to walk on the porch of this mansion where during the battle they would bring up the soldiers that had been injured and lay them side by side on the porch to give medical treatment, and to see the stains in the porch flooring that are still there. They can't get it out. To see the bullet holes in some of the structure of the plantation house. And then to go into the house and by the fireplace where when it was too cold and soldiers were too sick, they would bring them in to get them warmed up. And to see the stains that are still there, a reminder of the sacrifice that was made. Even more humbling and sobering than that was to stand on that porch and look out across the lawn to a small cemetery where soldiers were placed from all units, both the north and the south, most of them with no names, just simply the state they were from, and recognize how difficult it was. And to recognize that each and every one of those markers, each and every one of those graves represents a person that lived. Someone who was loved, someone who was lost. I think we get so caught up that even those who are closest to us, we can forget as we get caught up just surviving day to day in life. Memorial Day, Veterans Day, the 4th of July, September 11th, these are markers, these are moments to stop and remember, not just to mourn the lost, but to remember the lives and recognize that each and every one of those lives matters. Again, as I look across the street and see those markers, those graves, even though I've just known a few people that have been laid to rest there, every single one of those people there matters and are worth remembering. Every single person laying at rest there was a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter, a friend. And they're missed. And the converse of that, every single person had a mom or had a husband or a wife or a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter or grandchildren and extended family and friends who missed them and loved them. Friends, at least once a year, and hopefully more often than that, let's remember the lives, not just the loss. And let's be blessed as we keep their memory, their legacy, alive as we move forward. On Memorial Day, we lift one last thing, and that's we give thanks for the sacrifice. All the heroic acts on the battlefield throughout history have made our country what it is today. We enjoy freedom and wealth that are not equaled anywhere in the world, but our freedom and our luxuries have come at a great price. I know we live in a world and a culture where the memory of battles and war are distasteful. And there are many that would grab a microphone or a pen and do their best to paint a picture of hate, greed, and corruption of power, making villains of anyone who faithfully served our country, forgetting that the very reason that they can share their thoughts and opinions is because someone, somewhere, stepped up to defend their right to freedom of speech. Somewhere along the way, we've forgotten the sacrifice. But I got to tell you, I have hope. A few months ago, I was at a concert, and the concert, there were probably 100, 125 people there, and it was more of a country western feel, which I have admitted freely that's not my favorite, but we were there listening, and they came to a song that was very special to them, and the man that was singing shared with the audience that he had met one of the members of the audience beforehand, and found out that he was in his 90s, and he was the last living member of his regiment from the service days. And so he said, I want to sing this song in honor of this man. And he had him stand up and wave and shared his name. But then the craziest thing happened. As the man started singing that Lee Greenwood song, I'm Proud to Be an American, spontaneously, one by one, just about everybody in that room stood up, walked over to that man that's sitting in his wheelchair, and he stood to his feet, and one by one, just about all 100 people in that room either shook his hand or hugged him. They're standing in line throughout the whole song, and the singer had to wait several minutes afterwards for everyone to be able to greet this man and say thank you. From the youngest to the oldest, I thought, okay, there is hope when we remember the lives. Not just mourn the loss, but we remember lives and we give thanks for the sacrifice. To every person here today that has either served in the armed forces or had loved ones who have served or even now serving, we thank you. Several of you have had grandparents or parents or other family that served and were lost in the sacrifice. And again, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We mourn that loss and we remember their lives. And as a nation, we give thanks and we honor the sacrifice. As individuals, we think of those who's gone before us and we mourn the loss and we remember the lives and we give thanks for the sacrifice of our family and friends who went before us. Most of us have been directly influenced by those that we remember on this weekend. Our parents, our grandparents, our spouses, our children, siblings, mentors, teachers, overall, people who loved us well. We give thanks for their sacrifice. We mourn the loss. We remember the life and we give thanks for the sacrifice. Those are important lessons to remember this weekend and every day and every tomorrow moving forward. If we fail to do so, we're going to become like the children of God after they were rescued from Egypt, just like the prophet Hosea wrote. But I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. I cared for you in the desert, in the land of burning heat. When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. We don't want to go there. There's one last lesson that we need to open our eyes to see this morning before we close the page on this message, so that we do not become proud and forget the greatest loss, the greatest life, and the greatest sacrifice. As a church, we apply these lessons of remembering every week. Every week, we remember. Once a year, we observe Memorial Day, Independence Day, Decoration Day. But for the Christian, every week, we celebrate the memorial of Christ. Jesus fought the armies of hell so that you and I could be set free. And so for the Christian, every Sunday is Memorial Day. So this morning, as we think of Christ's death on the cross, we mourn the loss. We mourn the loss of our innocence from the chain of sin and his goodness that did not deserve to be treated the way he was, as he paid the price for my sin and yours. And as we think of that, I'm pretty sure all of us have a great big if only. If only we hadn't sinned, he wouldn't have had to die for us. But communion helps us to stand before a mirror and face the truth of Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the words of Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We mourn because we understand we're the ones to blame for his loss. It was our fault. We know that even if there was only one sinner that was lost, Jesus would have still died. His love's that great. And so we mourn. We grieve for the loss. And then we remember his life. We celebrate that God's word has given us a magnifying glass by which we can see and celebrate the life of Christ, from his miraculous yet humble birth, his ordinary childhood, his entry into ministry, his teaching, his discipling, his correcting, his healing, of any and all that would come to him as he fulfilled his Father's purpose for him, as he took our punishment on himself to the cross, then by defeating death's hold on mankind, breaking the chains of sin by the power of the resurrection. We mourn our loss, and we remember his life. And then finally, we give thanks. The magnifying glass that helps us celebrate his life helps us understand the sacrifice that was offered for you and for me. This morning, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you've accepted his gift of forgiveness and life eternal, I'd ask you to take the communion tray on the little communion pack on the table and get it ready to partake. In just a moment, we're going to share this together as we give thanks. In his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul shared why we remember this memorial, the sacrifice, every week. He takes us back to the night before Jesus was crucified as he shared the Passover feast with his closest followers. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You see, whether we actually break the bread or whether we just eat it, Jesus shared that night, it represents his body, broken, sacrificed for me and for you. And as we eat this bread together this morning, may we remember and give thanks. Paul then continues in verse 25. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The grape juice, the fruit of the vine, symbolizes the blood of Jesus that he shed to cleanse our hearts from sin. And every time we share the Lord's Supper together, we give thanks for the sacrifice. So as we drink the fruit of the vine, may we remember and may we give thanks. Friends, as we prepare for tomorrow's day of remembrance, may we mourn our loss, may we remember the lives, and may we give thanks for the sacrifice. And every week as we gather together as His church on the Lord's Day, may we do the same. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for these emblems that remind us of the sacrifice and also of the victory over death. Father, we thank You. We can't say thank You enough for what You've done for us. But we want to honor You, not just during this time in our service, but with our lives. We want others to see You living in us. And that's only possible because You died for us. Lord, as we remember as a nation tomorrow, and we as we mourn the loss, as we remember the lives, and as we give thanks for the sacrifice, help us never forget. In the same way, Father, as believers in You, as men and women, boys and girls that have accepted Your gift of life eternal, the sacrifice You made for us, help us live in such a way that others will see You and draw near and want what we have, the hope of life eternal through Your sacrifice on the cross. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. As we close our service today, I thought it'd be appropriate for us to do something a little unique and a little different. I know we do this every once in a while, but I thought it'd be appropriate for us as a congregation just to stand and remember those who've gone before us as a nation, in our families, as well as our Lord and our Savior and what He has done for us. So would you stand with me as we sing this simple song, Give Thanks, and as we close out our service in this way? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. As always, if you have questions about who Jesus is or how you can know that you have that forgiveness of sin, what God's Word encourages us and instructs us about becoming one in whom He lives, a child of God, grab me, talk to me, and let's talk about what that is, what that means, whether it's today or sometime during the week, I don't care. Okay? I want to encourage you to go forth, have a great weekend. And we thought it'd be appropriate. We haven't been able to do food since the virus hit. And so we thought on this holiday weekend, a treat might be appropriate. And so we're like, okay, how do we do food? How do we do a treat? We came up with the idea is that it's really not food. I don't think you can count ice cream as a food, right? Okay. And there's no calories on the holiday weekend, right? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we have individually wrapped ice cream sandwiches that are available for you, as well as if you have diabetes and have sugar issues, there are some no-sugar added dilly bars that you can have as a substitute. Or if you just really want to eat healthy, I even bought some of those prepackaged apple slices. So it's up to you. They're in the gymnasium, and we encourage you to stand around in the gym or go outside. It looks beautiful outside. The sun is shining. And just spend some time hanging out with each other, appropriately distanced, as if you're going to listen to me. No. You guys are doing really good. I'm proud of you on that. But we just wanted to take some time before we close. And I tried to be done a little early so that you can have some time to hang out. It won't ruin your appetite for dinner. And it's a holiday weekend, so it's all good. God bless you. We love you. Watch out for each other and go enjoy and visit with one another.